T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Loud and Local with Kevin Deers on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
It's Loud and Local here on The Rock. We started off with some kind of like screamo stuff. We played some thrash metal, and now we're going into the realm of the pop punk. We got the Subjunctives hanging out here in studio. They have a brand new record called Sunshine and Rainbows. I love that. There's some metal dude out there who's like, Sunshine and Rainbows? What is that? I like how I did Phil Anselmo voice right
love
there.
It, so. That's filthy Phil. Gotta love it.
Yep. Subjunctives, welcome to Loud and Local. Why don't we go around the room, introduce yourselves, tell us what you do with the Subjunctives. You guys are a three-piece, so we're not crammed tight with like six or seven members.
Sure, I'll start. I'm Ian. I play guitar and sing.
I'm Jeff. I play bass and sing.
I'm Matt. I play drums and sing as well.
Right on. You guys are very familiar with the local scene. You guys have played in a bunch of different bands. Why don't we go around the room, Ian, start with the bands that you currently play in or have played in so people know who we're talking to right now.
Sure, okay. So the probably band most folks know that I played in was a band called Sicko, punk band here in the Seattle area in the 90s. And then played in a twee pop band called Tales from the Birdbath for about 10
That's
years.
That's a great name.
And then switched to more kind of like a sonic youth noise rock band called Date Night with Brian.
Okay.
A couple years ago. And then about 3 years ago, got together with Matt and then shortly thereafter Jeffrey to do the Subjunctives. And the band was supposed to be called Sunshine and Rainbows, but Matt was like, no. Sorry, dude. So we had to save that for the album.
And how about you, Jeff? You were actually up here about a year and a half ago or so for Four Lights, were your record.
Yep.
So
still playing in Four Lights as well and doing the Subjunctives. And that's about it. I played in some other bands that are no longer worth mentioning.
Oh, fair enough. And how about you, man?
Yeah, I moved out here a few years ago from upstate New York. And,
okay.
I left a couple bands back there. But when I got here, I wanted to hit the ground running. So I got on Craigslist, actually, and found Ian. And we started playing pretty soon after, formed Subjunctives.
Right on, guys. So that's awesome. You guys, so it's been about 2-3 years now that you guys have been playing under the name of Subjunctives?
Yeah. That's about right. We cut our record about a year ago. It took forever to get out for a variety of slow-moving reasons, but now we're finally kind of, I think, a real band with a real record, and I've been playing for a while, so it's starting to feel pretty comfortable.
That's awesome, and you put it out yourself. It's a DIY project, and it's your label. Tell me about what it's like to put out your own records and actually run a label in 2019, dude.
Oh, well,
I'm sure it's all glamorous and millions of money.
Alan.
Millions of money. Millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's pretty much the stupidest hobby ever. It's sort of like a boat, but it can't really actually sink. I think that's probably maybe the best, comparison.
Sure.
It's just it's something that it's super fun, and it sort of consumes all my personal time.
Okay.
But it doesn't make any, it just loses money left and right. But it's just, it's a wonderful pursuit of art. We actually started it way back in 1992.
Wow.
With some compilation records, and put records out all through the 90s and kind of went on hiatus. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, started it up again. And that 14 Soda Punks record that I gave you, that was the first thing we did.
And the label's called Top Drawer Records, if
you're listening. Top Drawer Records. And it's always been about Northwest pop punk music. When we first started doing records on Top Drawer, people were saying, I remember Grant Alden, who was the editor of The Rocket, wrote, Yeah, I don't think that's really actually a thing, pop punk. It's kind of a silly term. That doesn't mean anything. And people sort of made fun of the idea that that was even a thing.
Yeah.
Because punk was supposed to be scary and hardcore.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Because some people use the term pop punk as like a pejorative.
Well,
but you guys like own it. Like, you are a fun pop punk band. That's kind of, I mean, you even so far as to, you have Seattle Pop Punk Festival is what you run. So,
yeah.
I mean,
well, it's weird, you know, just completely by total random happenstance, it became the biggest music in the world about 3 years after I got out of it the first time. It's real real strategic there. And then it went from this kind of goofy reaction against 80s hardcore, which I love, but, you know, it was a really funny, kind of awesome, sort of softer reaction to 80s hardcore.
Yeah, and kind of don't take themselves too seriously, have some fun with it, poke fun at the tough guys.
Exactly. And then it became...
We're still tough, though.
There you go. I wouldn't mess with you. I wouldn't mess with you, especially around the Christmas tree.
It became like the biggest thing in the world, and it became basically boy bands, ultra polished, barely. I don't really think there's a lot of punk left in it. And people have said to me, are you really sure you want to call your festival the Seattle Pop Punk Festival? You know, you want to call your band a pop punk band? And I'm like, well, for me, pop punk is, you know, Husker Du and Green Day.
The Queers.
And Mr. T Experience and Cringer and all those great old bands that were, you know, and then the first wave bands like the Buzzcocks.
Yeah.
And
Ramones are pretty much a pop punk band.
I mean, basically, if you go back, everything in 77 and 78 was pretty pop punk. You know, you could probably find a few, but not for the most part, there's a lot of pop in it. So for me, that's what it means. I think for other people, it probably does mean Panic at the Disco.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate for them, but I'm keeping the flag, you know. I'm going to fly it.
Yeah, fly the flag for Seattle Pop Punk. We got the Subjunctives in studio. Sunshine and Rainbows is the name of the record. We're going to play a couple, Pass It On, At the Kraken, and Spend Your Time. So let's talk a little bit about the Kraken, because this seems to be
best
like
bar in Seattle.
Ground zero for your scene a little bit. You guys now have some arcade units there, some arcade cabinets. You guys, is this like your home base?
It is. It's like my second living room.
Nice.
Seen so many
dude.
Bands come rolling through the Kraken.
That's awesome.
It's owned by good people. They always treat bands right. Support the Kraken in the U District. Go there.
It is Seattle's, this has been proven, it is Seattle's number one pirate themed punk rock dive bar. There's no better pirate themed punk rock dive bar in this city, and it's a wonderful
world.
Maybe the world. It's a wonderful space. It's small. It's cozy. Yeah. There's no monitors, so you have to be tough.
It's also Seattle's number one Bud Light Orange
that's a fact.
Place to go
it's
to.
Number one Bud Light Orange destination.
Yes, absolutely.
One
the sign
running.
Even says so.
It's a very friendly and welcoming. I think they pride themselves on being inclusive and having a safe space for people to come in and just enjoy music. And it's great. Everybody wears black
That's
t-shirts,
awesome.
Though. So if you're going to go, wear a black t-shirt.
Yeah. Great tater tots and food there, too. So
nice. Get a burger, see some pop punk, hang out, but wear a black t-shirt. We got Pass It On, At the Kraken, and Spend Your Time. It's the Subjunctives. We'll be back with more from them, but tune in, turn it up, hang out, bob your head, and pogo. Pogo. Wear a black t-shirt and pogo. It's Subjunctives here on Loud and Local. songs from the new Subjunctives record. Sunshine and Rainbows out on Top Drawer Records, a label that is done by Ian over here from the band The Subjunctives.
True. So, in my very basement.
What's the website for that?
The website for Top Drawer Records is tdrecs.com. You can get this record, records from Sicko, cool t-shirts, records from the Drolls, records, Seattle pop punk compilation, 14 Soda Punks, all kinds of cool stuff.
And the label, you said, started in the mid-90s, and you've kept it going. That's awesome.
Actually, early 90s, 1992, yeah.
Wow.
We kept it. I mean, we've had slower years, but
yeah, of course.
And we're really kind of back in full force now. But yeah, it's been there since 1992 with our first. We did a very bad compilation called For a Longer and Better Life. It was Sicko's first song on a record. A band called Bone Cellar.
Okay.
Another band called Soar Jackson. And another band called, Shag. Shag. And so it was, you know, sort of one of these black and white cover photocopied deals. Probably best left to history, but that's how it started.
Fair enough. And this record is out now, Sunshine and Rainbows. If you want to hear it, you can buy it at that website, and you could probably stream it too. Is that
we're on all the streamables.
Yeah.
You can go to our Bandcamp, and it's all streaming there. So thesubjunctives.bandcamp.com, or if you prefer to be on iTunes or Google Music or
Spotify,
you name it, we're there.
Right on, dude. And I just want to go a little deeper with you guys. So let's go back to, like, you know, day one with music and whatnot. What were, like, the foundational things for you guys? And I guess the first question, let's start with Ian. What was the first album, first CD, record, vinyl, tape, whatever it was, whatever format that you purchased on your own, not given to you by a cool older brother or your parents or something? What was the first one you actually purchased with your own money?
I begged my mom for permission because it was pretty edgy to her.
Uh-oh.
It was 1981, I think, 80-81, and it was at the University Village Safeway.
Oh.
It's not a Safeway anymore.
Yeah.
They had a tapes and records section, and in there was Joan Jett and the Blackhearts' I Love Rock and Roll.
That's so fitting.
On the cassette. Oh, I played
that's
that
awesome.
A million billion times.
That's great, man. That's a good way to start, I'd say. That's awesome, dude. And it was just all uphill or downhill from there, depending on however you look at it, right?
If you saw my record collection, you'd say, well, a bit of both.
And Jeff, how about you, man? Anything that legendary or maybe not?
Oh, no, mine's way more embarrassing, but I'll own it.
Yeah,
I think my first cassette I ever bought was MC Hammer, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, I still know words to that. And if I tried re-listening to it recently.
If I drop the beat, would you be able to sing it?
It doesn't hold up. Every song is like 6 minutes long and has like two dance break, like
wow.
Just instrumental parts.
He's a good dancer.
He was.
Yeah.
Maybe he still is. I don't know. then the first CD I got was Weird Al's Off the Deep End.
Oh, yeah, with Smells Like Nirvana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Yes. That's awesome. My mom wouldn't let me buy the Nirvana, but she'd let me buy the Weird Al version of it. So
my mom was the same. She threw away my Vanilla Ice CD, but, you know.
It's too hardcore.
Yeah.
Too hardcore, man.
But if it was Weird Al parodying something, no problem with that.
And how about you, man? What was the first one you purchased?
I think the first record I actually bought was a cassette, and I think it was the Offspring's Smash.
Yes. That's got some great songs on it. I still love that record. So, yeah, man.
That holds up today.
Yeah. So Weird Al, Joan Jett, and Offspring, when you put those together, you get the Subjunctives.
Kind of do, actually. I was just thinking about that. Why not?
The humor of Weird Al, kind of like the rock and roll fury of Joan Jett, but the catchiness, and then some pop punk Offspring stuff.
True.
So it's weird, man. It's in a blender.
I think one thing that I always liked about Weird Al is it was him doing everything, and like as far as harmonies go, like I remember kind of singing along with it and learning how to do harmonies via Weird Al.
Some of Weird Al's best songs are the ones that aren't actually parodies.
I agree.
Like, he just has some great original goofy songs.
Dare to Be Stupid.
Yeah.
It's a classic. Skipper Dan. It's amazing.
It's good stuff, man. So you guys, from there, what made you want to pick up an instrument and start playing music? What was kind of like that light bulb moment?
Oh, the piles of money.
Oh, yes.
That I'd be spending on music.
Oh, okay.
certainly not making it.
Did you guys have like a specific moment you can recall, or was there a band that maybe lit the fire for you?
I think I just remember wanting to play guitar because some of my friends did. And then one day I just went down to Reno because I was living in California. And I had some money and I bought an electric guitar and I brought it home. I remember buying a death metal distortion pedal.
Oh, I think
it was a DOD, death metal distortion. And because I figured, well, distortion will make anything sound cool, so I should probably get more of it because I don't know any chords. And then I just kind of learned playing along with, like, Pennywise and Green Day.
Nice.
Dookie and Pennywise, those were some big ones that...
Bro him.
Yeah. So,
how about you guys?
So I got for Christmas one year, this was way back, they used to have this thing that were like CDs, but they were big, like an LP. They were called LaserVision.
Oh, wow.
It was sort of... around the same time VHS came out, and my dad thought that was cool, so we had that. And they had on that a 3-song Iron Maiden laser CD, and they had Run to the Hills, Flight of Icarus, and Trooper.
Yeah.
And watching those guys stand up there with those silly spandex and those, like, awesome guitars and those big belts and whatever. It was all so cool. And I just thought, and of course those guys, all of them are like massively great musicians. And I went super deep on Maiden, got tons and tons of Maiden albums.
Yeah.
And I think watching those guys play kind of made me think, I want to have a guitar. I want to do what those guys are doing. And of course, you know, just getting a guitar didn't actually make me able to do what the guys in Iron Maiden were doing. That was the big letdown. Like, I can't play like that.
Yeah. I think whenever I heard, like, saw guitar solos, like Slash doing them in the videos, I always thought that was cool, and I kind of wanted to be able to do that as well. I still can't.
Fair enough. And what made you want to play the drums, man?
Well, it's funny that, well, I actually started playing guitar when I was a teenager.
Oh, okay.
It's funny, like, me and Ian have this kind of connection between like the older metal and stuff like Iron Maiden. When I was a teenager, I grew up in this tiny town and we didn't have much to do, so we're all skateboarders, and we used to just like watch skate videos all the time.
Of course.
And there was this one Toy Machine video with Hallowed Be Thy Name by Iron Maiden.
Do you remember whose part it was?
It was Jamie Thomas.
Nice. And, yes, dude,
like, we watched these videos all
Leap
the time.
Leap of Faith, Jamie Thomas.
Yes, Leap of Faith. And you know, it came to a certain point where, like, we couldn't skateboard around town anymore. So I had this buddy whose dad, like, forced him to practice guitar, like, every day.
Oh, my God.
Student scales and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And we ended up hanging out with him more and more. I picked up a guitar, and that was our daily ritual after school from there on. We just... So I
become the best shredders around.
Yeah, so like my first guitar songs were like Iron Maiden and Metallica and like Slayer. It was great.
That's awesome. Speaking of shredding, we're going to go into a song that you said is kind of a bit of a homage to Van Halen. Is that right?
Yeah, this one's a slower one. This one's for all the lovers out there.
Oh.
Today's a very special day, by the way. This is my 3-year anniversary with my girlfriend. So she's listening. Hey. Happy anniversary, Sonia.
Thanks, Sonia, for dating Jeff.
So we're talking to the Subjunctives here, and their new album is called Sunshine and Rainbow. It's going to be playing 3 more cuts from it Friday night, the slow jam for the lovers. And then we got the Fastbacks are the greatest band in history, so F you. Fastbacks, of course, are an awesome band. So, and then Get Some Sleep here by Subjunctives. Let's get into it. It's Loud and Local here on The Rock.
club for the fastbacks and beat happening. That was the greatest thing that I'd ever seen, and I knew what I had to be. Kurt and Lutheran, Rusty and Mighty Kim were the greatest men in history. Kurt and Lutheran, Mike and Mighty Kim, still the greatest.
Kevin Deers rolls on 99.9 KISW.
We got the Subjunctives in studio. We were talking off air during the commercial break about some bands that have really made an impact here in the Northwest, the Gits and the Fastbacks, and most importantly, they have a song called "The Fastbacks Are the Greatest Band in History." So F you. So I got to go around the room. Let's give some shout outs and some acknowledgement to some bands. I know you guys have been here in the Northwest for a while. At least Ian, you were in the Sicko, which was a band that started early in the 90s. So you guys must have seen some killer bands come and go. And what are some of your guys' personal favorite Northwest bands of all time, whether they're current or former bands or whatever? So let's go around the room.
Greatest band in history. It's autobiographical. It's the Fastbacks. Mm-hmm. I could say a lot of awesome Pacific Northwest bands, and I could go on and on.
We got all night, dude.
Yeah, got all 30 seconds. But the Fastbacks, that's the band that my roommate brought home this record, and he said, "Oh, you are going to in college from KZUU, actually." And he said,
okay, yeah,
because you could check them out.
Yeah.
And he says, it was the Fastbacks, very, very powerful motor, and he said, Ian, you are going to love this band. This band was totally made for you. And I'm like, okay. And I put it on, and my brain just went.
Just changed your life, right?
Completely changed my life. I had no idea that you could play happy punk music.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Through this joy and sort of like, you know, this spirit and fun. And it just made me, it totally blew my mind. So they are, without question, the greatest band in history. And I'm sticking with my story.
Right on, man. I like that, dude. You make me want to dive a little deeper into that because I think I've been on the kind of like the edge of like, I listened to it, but I haven't jumped totally into the discography. So I'm going to do myself a favor and listen to the prophet here, Ian.
You want
to dive into the good word.
Let's not give him a bigger fast
bag. Remember that, you boys. Yeah, get very, very powerful motor. It's all guitar shred. It's like 80s guitar shred, whammy bar, but with this kind of like 70s, like 77, 78 kind of Buzzcocks kind of band behind it. And
it sounds like you're describing Cheap Trick, man.
It's real similar. Like bands like Cheap Trick and The Sweet and that are like, they weren't actually really punk,
but it's like power pop-ish kind of.
That's a good, there's a few other good records I could tell you about, but that's probably the one that like just, and the song In the Summer is just epic, right? It's it pretty much puts the hook right in your jaw.
I like it. Jeff, how about you, man? What's what are your favorites? Northwest bands of all time.
A little band called Nirvana you might have heard of.
Yeah,
they're pretty good.
Pretty obscure. I don't think I've dug that one up yet.
No. Presidents of the United States of America.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta like them. Kind of more modern these days, like Skeletor.
Yeah!
Skeletor. Great band. Check them out. Old Doris, Foxhole Norman, from Vancouver, The Transmitters.
Okay.
They're great.
Yeah.
The Sex Having Humans.
The Sex Having Humans dropping their EP Bearskin in 2020.
That's awesome.
And how about you, man? What about you? I know you're kind of like a new to the Northwest area, but obviously
totally.
There must be some bands here in this area that you love.
Sure, of course. I was always obsessed with Nirvana growing up.
Of course.
That's kind of a given. I think a lot of people were. Currently, Foxhole Norman and our buddy Kevin McGraw.
Okay.
He's also in Old Doris, which Jeff mentioned. But when I moved here, Ian introduced me to the Fastbacks, and I just absolutely can't stop listening to them. Love listening to them. Shredding guitars, like killer fast drums, and just killer awesome harmonies. It's great, man.
It's a mutual Fastbacks Appreciation Society tonight.
We love them.
We love them.
All right, guys.
What about the worst bands?
No, controversial.
That's a different show, guys. That's in the second hour. Subjunctives here on Loud and Local, Sunshine and Rainbows, available now at Top Drawer Records. Before we go, we got a couple songs, but before we jump into those, what are a couple shout-outs, thank yous, or messages you want to, while you have the captive audience of Loud and Local here on The Rock?
Do it.
I already mentioned mine, but just a reminder out there to people to have their pets spayed or neutered.
All right. Thanks, Bob Barker.
Well, I want to give
an important message, though.
I want to give a shout-out to my lovely wife, Rebecca, and my two daughters, Isabel and Anastasia. And I've been listening to KSW since probably 1982 or 83.
Yeah. Got your shirt from the Squire Shop.
Probably got a shirt or two from the Squire Shop. Can I do a The Rock?
Of course.
The Rock!
Oh, my God. That was amazing. Okay, you guys want to know a secret? The Rock, that rock, the one that you hear currently?
Who is that?
It's Hawk from the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom. That's actually our program director. He paid guy like $100. What a rush, that guy. So he paid him $100, gave him a couple beers after a show in Chicago, and he recorded him doing the rock thing. So
that's actually
Hawk from Legion of Doom Road Warriors. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Any more shout outs or thank yous?
My Maddie.
Man, just all the venues and all the people just keeping it going, keeping it inspiring. This is a very cool city for music. I mean, it's very easy to find people to play with and just, you know, all that.
Yeah. And shout out to the Kraken.
Yeah, shout out to this radio station, too, for doing this local show and keeping local music alive.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks. I'm happy to do it and happy to play it here on The Rock. So, again, one more time, I need another rock from you, Ian.
Okay.
No pressure.
Me.
The Rock! That was amazing. Subjunctives, wow. One More Year, and Dumbass. It's Loud and Local here on The Rock. Amazing.
With a mess. I am that mess.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.